Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Own Your Awesome podcast. I'm your host, Miranda Von Fricken. I am so pumped for this episode because it is the first of three, technically four, if you listened to my previous episode. I talked a little bit about the upper limit problem that I had been experiencing, but also the fact that we're starting summer. We're 2 weeks in technically right now, as of tomorrow. And I like to set up my summer a little differently than everyone else. Part of what I've been going through with this upper limit problem, and I think I've cracked it, so woohoo to me. Part of it is because the momentum has been going and going and going, and it's been absolutely amazing, and I don't want it to end. There are definitely some signs of self-sabotage. There are definitely some signs of laziness and being a little undisciplined. I'm not going to lie. I keep it real with y'all, even when it comes to me. I am a coach who can help you fix these things, but I happen to be somebody who also has them for herself. And listen, there is a concept called coaching yourself. It was actually like one of the first books I've ever read, personal development books, was about coaching yourself to success. And I think there's something to be said about that. I clearly am obsessed with all things self-leadership. I have a master's in it. Well, technically my master's is in motivation, but the focus is in self-leadership. So I know that we can coach ourselves. However, I know it's easier and better when we do it with someone else. So I thought it would be a phenomenal opportunity for me to not only share a little bit about what I was going through, and that was in the last episode. So scroll back if you haven't listened to it already. Pause this one, go back if you'd like, because it is essentially an episode that was building up to this three-part series that I've created based on my summer strategy. And this upper limit problem thing came to a complete halt the minute I laid out my summer strategy. I've been doing it for clients for years. I've been doubling down on LinkedIn and networking and reaching out to clients and potential clients and getting myself on their calendars, whether it's now or in September in the fall when people are coming back. And I know it works. So I have this sign on my desk that says, "Do what they're not doing." I actually had a whole episode about it. I will reference it in the show notes for you to go back and listen to. It's one of my biggest strategies to success in business is to do what they, quote unquote, they, whoever they are, your competition, people who do what you do in your industry, job seekers that are also competing for your jobs, do what they're not doing and you will stand out. And so I talked about this a lot with my buddy Nancy on our Sales Gone Wild show on LinkedIn. We're taking a summer hiatus because we are doubling down on our own strategies for ourselves. And we'll be back in the fall. Don't get sad. And the reason I'm so obsessed with this concept of doing what they're not doing, essentially it's in the summer when people want to chill and relax and kind of hold back a little bit on their business. Instead of going hard, they're kind of falling back a little bit and either continuing to do what they've always done and they're not like kicking it up a notch. They're just kind of, I don't want to say resting on their laurels because that's not really the case. Assuming they were successful the first 6 months of the year, they're just kind of like easing in the center of the year to give themselves a break. And then the consensus is typically they'll go hard in the fall and finish strong, hopefully in the winter. I don't like that. I don't like it at all. And I put a poll out on LinkedIn last week, and actually it was about 50-50. It was technically 44% in alignment with what I'm saying, and 56% said they were just going to kind of chill and enjoy the summer or continue just doing what they're doing. So I want to really explain what I mean by summer strategy and why it's been so successful for myself and my other clients. I want to share with you essentially my top three things that have kept me focused and moving forward every single summer. So when people are scrambling to go hard and either book themselves on stages or achieve their goals or find the jobs in September, they're competing with everybody else. I'm not. I'm not, because I've already booked the stages. I've already got a full calendar. I'm already preparing to take December completely off. So this is how I do it, and I want to share it with you. I do three things. This episode is going to be all about the first thing, which is creating the strategy, or sometimes I'd like to call devising the plan. Okay, I don't do an evil laugh very well because there's like no evil in me. So creating the strategy, devising the plan, that is literally step one to ensuring that we have the most productive, focused, and forward momentum in our summer. And there's two other ones, of course, but stay tuned to the next two episodes and I'll dive all into them individually. Each thing that I do that ensures my success over the summer, but also allows me to enjoy it, because I'm not a monster. I'm just not just going to go hard while everybody's laying out in the sun, catching some rays and enjoying their life. No, I also am doing those things too. I'm just not giving up on my goals. I'm not putting them to the side or putting a pin in them. Summertime doesn't mean slack time, right? So the first thing I do is create the strategy or devise the plan. And initially, I have to revisit my January goals. So first day of summer, it was a Thursday, June 20th. I sat down with myself and I said, all right, girl, like what were your goals in January? Of course, I already know what they are, but I still sat down with them. I have this journal that I write in, and on December 31st, I mapped out a plan for me to get to $1 million in my business by the end of 2025. Now, that's a two-year plan, of course, and my psychic will say it's not going to actually happen until 2026, but I'm still going strong as if it is a full-on two-year plan. So in January, I made the plan. So I go back to that notebook, and I open it up, and I read everything I wrote, because, and this is key, not only did I write the strategy, I wrote the emotions that come with achieving each of those line items. Sometimes I'll even Voxer myself because I'm obsessed with Voxer. If you don't know what it is, V as in Victor, O-X-E-R, look it up. I'm obsessed. If you're one of my clients, you know what it is. We use it all the time. So I also Voxer myself a message when I'm making this strategy and plan, because there's emotions behind the strategy. There's emotions that I have that I need to share and often revisit, because I can get myself back in that state very quickly if I'm hearing my own voice and I'm starting to like recall that feeling. So I revisit my yearly goals and the strategy I laid out for myself in January, whether it was with myself or with the coach, and I assess where I am as of today. As of me, it was June 20th. For you, it can be right after this episode you're going to do it, or maybe you've already done it because you've been hearing me preach about summer strategy sessions for about a month now. So where are you in comparison to your January goals, the goals you had set for yourself in the beginning of the year? Now, you also know that I'm not a huge resolution fan, but I do love a threshold moment. And for me, the December 31st to January 1st is a threshold moment. And I sat down at like 10 of midnight and I devised this plan. After about 5 minutes of prayer, I just dove right in. I said, God, take over my pen and devise this plan. The first step in my plan was to write my book. And so clearly that has been done. She has gone bestseller, and I am here for it. I'm here for all the things that are happening because of it, and I'm very happy. So had I not sat down and devised that plan, maybe that never would have happened because I wasn't being strategic enough. And we can't, listen, I'm all about praying for it, manifesting things, but I know I'm not going to make things happen. Specifically, that $1 million that I have at the end of year two is not going to come to me if I'm just wishing and praying for it. Like, listen, I love God. He works miracles, but he also needs me to do the work too. So the strategy is crucial. So I'll revisit where am I in assessing my plan, where I am today based on the actual goals I had for myself. I want you to do the same. So if you happen to be listening to this at work, go you. And if you happen to be like on a lunch break or whatever, take out your pen and paper, pause this now. If you're not near your goals where you had written them down, if you don't have access to them, just take a minute and try to remember maybe what your maybe big one or two plans were. And where are you today in correlation to those plans you had made for yourself, those goals you had? Are you far off? Are you close? Are you midway? Like, where are you in comparison to 6 months ago? If you are in the same exact spot you were 6 months ago, don't pause this. Completely turn it the F off and call me. We are not meant to be the same person today as we were 6 months ago, no matter how happy we are. We need to grow and elevate and expand and adjust in any and all areas of our life. So assess where you are today from where you were 6 months ago. That then will give us insight, if you will, into whether we need to make adjustments. Do I still want this goal? Does it still feel right for me to achieve this goal? Was the timing accurate, right? Like, so January 1, I'm saying in 2 years, I want to be a millionaire. My psychic is saying it's probably going to take 3, girl. And I'm okay with that. But do I adjust my plan based on some new information? Nope, I'm actually going to still go as if it's 2 years. Because if I let off the gas thinking I have an extra year to do this, I will slack. And I know if I keep going hard as if it is a true 2-year plan, or for you, depending on your goal, a 1-year plan, if we let off the gas now, we're definitely not going to hit it. Or we're not going to actually hit the highest potential that was supposed to happen with that goal. So say it is $1 million by the end of the year, which is ridiculous for me at least. And I let up on it, I may only hit half of that or less than half of that. However, if I don't let up and say, nope, it's 2 years straight or 1 year straight for my goal. Say you wanted to lose 50 pounds in a year and you were like, well, you know, I have only lost 10 and it's month 6, right? And I've been doing all the things and I've only lost 10 pounds. What are the odds of me losing 40 pounds in the next 6 months? Well, you'll never know if you don't keep going or make an adjustment, because this is actually the step after you figure out and revisit the goals and assess where you are from the 6 month duration. You need to make adjustments, whether A, this goal is still for you or not. Because sometimes 6 months later, we don't even want that goal anymore. Maybe you're like, yeah, so much stuff has happened in 6 months. I don't even feel aligned to that goal anymore. I don't feel called to achieve that goal. So you scratch it off. See you later. Maybe it'll come back later. Maybe not. If this goal is still for you, still on your mind, still on your heart, that means it's for you to achieve. All you need to do is maybe make some adjustments. So using the 50-pound strategy, if you will, if you've only lost 10 in 6 months, we need to figure out what we did in those 6 months. Is that normal for your body? Perhaps it is. Have you consulted physicians, nutritionists? Have you worked with a coach? Like, there are some things we need. What did we do to get to where we are from 6 months ago to now? And what do I need to adjust from now for the next 6 months? So adjustment. After assessing, it's adjusting if necessary. And then the third thing I do when creating the strategy is to call in the big guns. What do I mean by the big guns? Well, for me, it's my coach. Every coach has one. I have 3. And the big guns is my girl, Jess, you hear me often talk about. I'm currently in her mastermind, so I already have access to her. But say I was not in a program or a container with a coach yet, I'd have to go find one to help me do all the things I can no longer do on my own or I'm not making progress in. So coaches obviously help with the action plan because we can already do the revising and the adjusting, but they're never gonna be as good as when you get another set of eyes on them. I've learned that the hard way. Listen, I've coached thousands of people I can't even tell you. It's probably since I was 5, but getting paid for it. Getting paid for it probably like 15 years. I've coached thousands of people, and my plan, they always say, is better than theirs. However, it's not that it's better. It's that it's unbiased, first of all. I'm coming from a different angle without their limiting beliefs. And that's the biggest key, right? I don't have the beliefs. I don't limit my beliefs in you. You probably limit your belief in yourself. So when I, for example, because I'll always use me as an example, when I'm working with my coach and I'm like, dude, I made this $1 million goal, blah, blah, blah. It's probably not going to happen. I'm 6 months in. And yes, I technically have like a year and a half left to go, but I don't see it happening. So when I do strategy sessions with my coach, she does a couple things. We obviously adjust where need be. What are we doing? What's working? What's not working? You know, that whole conversation. And then we dive into accountability, right? Like, all right, we make the new plan. Here's some new action plans based on what I see, what I hear, and here's what we're going to do. And then she'll say, okay, here's what I'm hearing. You're holding yourself back. Here's what I'm hearing. You're playing small. Cut the shit. Here's what I'm hearing. You're being friggin' lazy. You watched a new Netflix series? Absolutely not. That has nothing to do with that. That took away 14 hours. 14 hours. What could you have done in 14 hours? Oh, shit. Probably made a lot of friggin' money or made a lot of friggin' connections that would eventually lead to clients and money. So listen, I have a hard time calling myself out, and I know you do too. Or we could call ourselves out, but we don't take the steps needed to rectify. So this is why calling in the big guns, bringing in a coach, if you can't invest in a long-term coach, it's okay. Strategy sessions. Most coaches have a one-off session or maybe a three-part series kind of thing, right? I have a summer strategy session. I've expanded my 60-minute time to 90 minutes, and I didn't increase the cost. So it's the same cost for a one-time strategy session, but it's now a half hour longer because it's summertime. So this is the thing, because I know it's so important. I've given it to my clients. We've done them in the past. They're ridiculously amazing and effective. And because I know it's so important, I've extended the time, because sometimes we got to do a little life coaching in there too. It's a little more than just strategy. So calling in the big guns, I highly recommend you bring in someone. Now, if you're like, listen, I don't even have a dollar. I can't even afford a stick of gum. Then you got to get an accountability partner. You got to get a buddy, somebody else who's trying to move in the same direction as you, so you can hold each other accountable. So when you bring in the big guns, here's what happens. The action plans get better. They get more aligned, more strategic, and more laser focused. We can create our own strategy all day. However, bring that strategy to somebody who's been doing it for years. Mine happens to be an intuitive coach. So she also taps into me and my intuition and my beliefs in myself and how I already have the answers. And so I kind of do that a little bit for my clients, but I'm very, very focused on you and the belief you have in yourself, your ability to tap into your highest self and to draw her out, to be able to utilize all that she's learned to be able to create a better strategy, a more focused and aligned and like laser focused strategy to move you forward. And then of course, the accountability. Having a coach is so much more important than just the strategy they give you. It's the accountability piece. Oh, if you don't have somebody to hold you accountable, to check in with you weekly or do these Voxer calls or to call you out when you're being blah, or to honestly hear you, listen to you when things aren't going right, and to share the emotional side of what it's like to achieve or not achieve our goals. That's why I call them the big guns. Like, I could talk all day about having a coach, because I've got three, of course, and they each do something different for me, but each one of them hold me accountable to the goals I say I have for myself and actually make me expand them a little bigger than I even imagined. So how do you find the right coach? Because if we're really there to call in the big guns, there's a couple things I want you to look for when looking for a coach. Or even if you're like, I just want to hire you. Cool, you could do that. But let's look at these three things and make sure that they're right for you, because I may not be right for you. My message may be awesome and you love my podcast, but I may not be the right coach for you. I may know someone who is if it's not me, but either way, this is the thing you got to look for. One, that they have a good mix of both strategy and mindset expertise. So my intuitive coach has the mindset in a more spiritual, intuitive type way, which is exactly what I needed. Years ago, I worked with very high masculine, high achieving women coaches, but they were all about strategy. There was like two very specific ones I've worked with, super about strategy, and I needed it at the time, and it was amazing, and we achieved our goals. Then I worked with one who, actually, before that, I worked with one who was all spiritual, like energy, and she was amazing, but I didn't get a lot done. I felt amazing, but I didn't get a lot accomplished. So then I went to the strategy ones, and I got a lot accomplished, but I didn't feel connected to the work or connected to the results. So I was like, damn, I really need somebody with a mix of both. And then I found my girl. And then the coolest part is I knew what I was missing. So I was able, I mean, my husband literally calls me 50-50 because I can argue both sides of everything. I am straight down the middle of masculine and feminine, and I tap into both on command. So I have a really nice way of bringing the strategy and the mindset and the emotion that we need to achieve our goals. I needed that in a coach too. And I would highly suspect that you will too. So find somebody with a mix of both because you're going to need it. Because summertime is short. And when we're doing short summer strategies, you don't have time for long played out strategy. You need it to be laser focused, get in and get out, do the work, make some movement. The second thing is to make sure they're available and available to go in the same direction you are. So what I mean by that is not only their schedules available, right? It's summertime. Make sure they're also doing what you're doing. Like if they're like, I'm going hard, cool. You are too. Let's go. Don't hire a coach who's taking this chill season and taking on two clients only because they're really focused on living life. Yeah, go live life. But listen, I'm moving forward. So I need someone who can live life and push me forward because they're also going forward. And I think that's a huge discrepancy between hiring coaches in the summer and hiring them like in a hard season, if you will, like when they're going hard in January or going hard in fall. When you hire a coach in the summer, you have to make sure that they understand the summertime energy, right? And how to tap into it, but still move forward. So make sure they're going in the same direction you are during this season. I mean, that kind of applies to anytime you're hiring a coach. And the third thing, and I found this very valuable, is to make sure that they are a little bit ahead of you. Not a lot of bit, because I fell into that trap working with a quote-unquote celebrity coach. She was amazing, but I felt the things she was saying were 15 steps beyond where I was. So there was like 15 steps between where I was and what she was having me do. And I was, I had a hard time. I had a hard time implementing the things or really sticking with it because I wasn't there yet. Like if you wanted me to implement an automation system, but I'm still thinking about implementing an email list. Okay, well, that's like a lot of steps in between there, right? Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and literally setting up the tech. So make sure they're not so far ahead of you that they forget what it's like to be in your shoes. I like to hire coaches that are probably like 3 to 5 years ahead of me. They can still recall, you know, where, I mean, this is different when it comes to life coaching, right? Like you want to make sure their life's not a mess. But if you're talking business, branding, make sure they're ahead of you, but not so ahead of you that they'll lose you, right? Or that you're not just like one of these, I don't want to say cog in the machine, but I feel like when you're in an automatic sequence and you get thrown into a group and the next thing you know, you're on a individual call with them, they just don't know you enough because it's like turn and burn type of coaching. So I find that when you work with someone that's like 3 to 5 years up in front of you, if you will, you'll get more from them. So keep that in mind. Those are the three things, a mix of both mindset and strategy, availability and going in the right direction, the same direction as you, and then make sure they're only ahead of you for a little bit, not too much ahead of you. That you don't want them to be at the same level as you either. I've done that by accident too. You know, worked with a woman that I loved. Granted, it was different. If we're working with somebody, say LinkedIn, right? I do LinkedIn. I work with millionaires on LinkedIn and I'm ahead of them in LinkedIn, maybe not in business, but LinkedIn and finding business on LinkedIn and growing my brand on LinkedIn and getting visibility, I'm ahead of them. So that's different. If you're looking for a strategy and something very niche, find the person who's ahead of you in that niche, not in business in general. So when we're talking summer strategy, There are three things that help me stay focused and moving forward while still enjoying my summer. The first thing is locking in the strategy and calling in the big guns if you find that you're struggling to do it alone. Why waste these precious, small summer hours that we have? I'm in upstate New York, so we don't get a lot of these wonderful, beautiful days. I don't want to spend all day, quote unquote, figuring it out. I want to get to work and then get to the pool, right? I want it all. I want to do it all. I want both the beautiful summer and to enjoy this time with my friends and family. Yet I also want to continue to move my business forward and do the things my competitors, if you will, are not doing, because all they're doing is condensing their work time and increasing their play time. I like playing, but I also want progress. So what's your summer look like? Is it more play or is it more progress? I'm here for both. If you are too, let's hop on a call. Find me on Instagram, DM me strategy, and I will send you my calendar link and we will have a conversation. And then LinkedIn too, of course, I live there. If you've got my book, because I keep getting more and more DMs from you saying you got my book and you're loving it, thank you so much for supporting me. It means the world to me. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review on Amazon, because apparently that's important. But also, if you liked this episode, leave a 5-star review here as well so I can continue to reach more people. I actually just found a site that tells me I'm in the top 10%. So I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know what it means, but it sounds cool to me. So obviously you guys are listening and enjoying, and I couldn't be more happy to support you in your business, in your career, and of course, as always, in your life. Thank you again for listening to another episode of the Own Your Awesome podcast. Until next time, continue to be awesome, and let's talk summer strategy. Bye.